Welcome to a roundtable discussion about data governance and data quality. I'm Hannah Smoltry, site editor for searchdatamanagement.com. Joining me are data management professionals from three organizations which have successfully implemented data quality and governance programs. I'd like to begin by introducing our panelists and their projects. First, we have Mark Allen, Senior Program Manager with Sun Microsystems, headquartered in Santa Clara, California. Sun is a company most of us are probably familiar with, which develops network computing infrastructure solutions that include computer systems, software, storage, and services. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Hannah.
Today, we'll be learning more about Mark's experiences with Sun's Integrated Business Information Solution Project, which includes an enterprise data management and governance component. IBIS, or the Integrated Business Information Solutions Project, is essentially a major enterprise-wide infrastructure migration from many legacy systems and data models to an integrated Oracle 11i Business Suite platform and surrounding business intelligence strategy. Now, in that enterprise data management framework, Mark is the customer data steward for the customer data entity area, chartered with the implementation of the customer data governance model and processes. This customer data governance model is being built around the Oracle 11i trading community architecture and customer data hub application that Sun is implementing. The implementation consists of a phased migration of all of Sun's legacy system customer identity information into one integrated registry and data model. Customer data governance is the governance body, and the data steward function is focused on the business support, quality management, integrity, and enterprise-wide policies and standards related to this customer data. So now that I've gotten all that out, Mark, could you tell us a bit more about how this large project is structured? What group is coordinating it, and at a high level, how are they working with the various departments to keep everything organized?
It really starts at the top. It's our entire executive management team that's driving this. As you mentioned, most of our legacy infrastructure regarding front and back end is moving into this integrated model. So it really touches all the functional aspects of Sun. You know, we've got all the executives on board from the CEO down that have different roles and responsibilities for the delivery and success of this. So it's being driven on a phased approach. So as we begin to move the different functionalities and business models into this, obviously, there's different executives that have different focuses on the, on the transition of that aspect. So it's an enterprise-wide, everybody fully invested project, probably the biggest enterprise project we've ever had at Sun. And, it's going to be probably a 2 to 3 year phased-in process that we've started, but, have still a lot of effort in front of us still.
Can you give us a ballpark idea of how much customer data we're talking about here?
Really, if you add it all up, there's probably, in the tens of millions of records. If you take all of the, what we call the customer or the party being who we're having some kind of a relationship with as a customer, if you take all their identity information, who are they, what's their name and address, some of the profile information about that as a company, you take a person in contact information that, who are the people we're dealing with in those companies, you take all the site information that I mentioned, the addresses and the locations, and you take, kind of the characteristics of the account. How are we doing business with them? Are they an end user? Are they a reseller? Are they an OEM, a systems integrator? All that information accounts for, tens of millions of records that are in various pockets of our legacy systems today that we're having to kind of move and migrate, normalize, and put into a common model.
And finally, Mark, could you tell us a bit more about your role as a customer data steward? What are your responsibilities? And I'm also interested in learning a bit more about your background and what prepared you for this kind of a role.
Sure. As a data steward, as part of the systems implementation of this whole IBIS model, there is the whole parallel governance implementation, which really is, IBIS being a systems change is a forcing function to also get us to focus on the data governance, the data quality, and the management of data that has been, sort of lacking as a competency, in the past at the enterprise level. So we've created a model called the Enterprise Data Management Model that really creates a data steward and data maintainer kind of model where the data steward is essentially the owner of the data, responsible for the fitness and the long-term, policy and standardization and quality management. The maintainer is really the part of the business in the transaction areas that have their hands on, that are actually entering or changing the data in the transactional models. So we have this data steward, data maintainer model now, where, you know, if we're seeing problems, we have issues with the quality, or we need to standardize around policy, the data steward and the data maintainer, you know, work together to, you know, reach those levels of standards and those cleansing tasks that are needed. So that's kind of our model. It's a data steward, data maintainer model. In the customer area, this has been an area that I've been at Sun for 20 years, and probably the last 10 years been focused in various grassroots type efforts in the same quality and data metrics area. So as we began to put this IBIS model together, I was fortunate to be able to be involved in the development of it as an enterprise practice.
Next, I'd like to introduce Patrick Pelley, a principal analyst of information quality with DTE Energy, a Detroit, Michigan-based company that develops and manages energy-related businesses and services nationwide and directly provides electricity to millions of businesses and residents in the Midwest. Welcome, Patrick.
Thanks, Anna.
I understand that when your project first started, DTE Energy had recently undertaken a series of mergers and acquisitions, which expanded its presence into new areas and new markets, but also presented some challenges. I hear that all of this activity meant that the company had dozens of enterprise resource planning systems, each with detailed information on customers and the entire supply chain. So the acquisitions had created an inconsistent, disjointed system of systems and applications across various divisions and business units. And ultimately, the biggest problem was that the company did not have a single consistent view of critical business data across the entire enterprise, a challenge I hear a lot about. So apparently, the company decided to standardize all information from existing ERP systems on a single SAP application. This was a multi-year migration project involving hundreds of IT and business employees. Patrick, as I just mentioned, I understand that hundreds of people were involved. Can you tell me how this project was managed, which department led the charge, and how you coordinated all of these resources?
Sure. First of all, a master data group was formed, and master data consisted of our customer data, our HR data, and our vendor data. And this was a totally new concept for DTE. You know, we had them in various silos previously. So training and product had to be selected to help us with this migration. The department that led the charge was a group called Common Process Governance, or CPG. And basically what we tried to do, the CPG group was a totally new organization, and we were rewriting all of our processes and looking at all of our data. And at the same time, obviously, we had our operating business still going on. So we had to establish a steward team in the new organization and one in the functioning organization, along with an IT steward team or a person. And these teams worked together to map the current data values to the new values, work with data type conversions, data definition problems, CDI issues, and this whole effort just really strengthened the premise for master data and governance in the company.
And Patrick, can you tell us a bit about your role in the project and what your role is at the company now?
My role at that time, I was on the functioning or the operating business side, and I helped with the business rules, the data definition, and testing. And probably the largest role that I had was applying, you know, a successful culture change, and that since these concepts were new, and you know, the change usually scares a lot of people. So you tried to provide a sense of urgency, a clear shared vision, capacity for change, and making sure that we had, you know, actionable first steps, and then setting some long-term goals. And currently, I am in the customer service side of our business, implementing information quality projects and helping out with implementing our data governance policies and procedures.
Thank you. Finally, I'd like to introduce Gary Rostek, Manager of Data Quality with R.L. Polk, a Southfield, Michigan-based provider of automotive and consumer data, market intelligence, and insight. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you, Anna.
Since data is at the core of its business, I've learned that R.L. Polk committed to continuously improving its data management infrastructure and methods. A few years ago, the company wanted to update its core foundational data warehouse. A subsidiary of the company, RLP Technologies, led a re-engineering effort to implement breakthrough technologies to standardize and enhance data from disparate sources. Based on the principles of lean manufacturing, R.L. Polk created its Enterprise Information Factory. A core component of this was adding a new data quality engine, which enabled the organization to expose business rules for data quality via a service-oriented architecture, creating a real-time processing architecture to ensure the data entering the EIF, Enterprise Information Factory, meets the corporate standards for data quality. Now, that's especially important as the organization deals with over 240 disparate data sources coming in from state governments, automobile manufacturers, and other sources. The company reports that the Enterprise Information Factory has revolutionized the collection, standardization, and enrichment of data. Gary, can you tell us a bit about your role in the project at Polk and what your role is at the company now?
My initial role in this project was that of a data architect helping to design data stores for name and address tables, which eventually fed into our single source of truth. My role from there evolved into a project manager heading up a team designing the name and address service, which was one of the key services within our overall service-oriented architecture. As a project started to transition from development phase to testing phase, I took on the role of manager of data quality.
I'd like to move on and talk a little bit about data governance structures. I'd like to learn more about how you manage data governance. With so many people, departments, and locations to consider, I'd like to learn more about who makes those policies and decisions around how corporate data are managed and used. I'll start with DTE Energy. Patrick, what methods and processes does the company use to manage data governance? Who manages governance at DTE Energy?
So at DTE Energy, we have a senior leadership team, and currently it is a vice president in customer service, and they basically help establish the context, and they can also help provide issue resolution, and they, you know, obviously approve project costs and timelines, I mean, along with input from the other groups. We also have, at the director level, we have a sustaining steering committee team, and we have some business side and IT side individuals in that group. We have business information steward teams along with the information technology steward teams, and then a business management team, which I'm a part of. And we try to get our foot in to drive the governance and making sure that the policies and procedures are being followed. We try right at the start, so any type of business case review like currently is going on for our 2008 budget, we have certain business case criteria that if there's any changes in data, that there's certain criteria that they try to adhere by. We're also in a meeting that happens mainly around the IT area, and that is anytime there's changes, major changes in applications or technology changes, there are weekly meetings, and we have a presence at those meetings to make sure that information is being accounted for. We have customer service process councils where there's any process changes, and we also talk about some technology in those meetings that we have some of our stewards or sometimes our business management team will sit in on those to help with any issues. We also do education just around quality issues with our IT teams and with the business teams. And we also have incorporated training in our black belt and lean management training that we do for the company. So we've been able to, you know, have a couple slides at least that, you know, we talk about what information quality is and what type of policies and procedures that we have around that.
And now, Mark, could you tell us how data governance is structured at Sun? I know you work with customer data governance. Are there other governance organizations for product data or other data domains, or how is that all handled?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's kind of a program management office approach to this. We've got an enterprise data management PMO office that is really looking to drive the enabling aspects and services across the different data entity areas. Their job, their role would be, you know, focus on common objects and common infrastructure such as data architecture, metadata management, privacy and compliance, security-related, you know, cross-functional areas, and, you know, certain amount of data quality and monitoring types of services. So, you know, really as they they begin to kind of work with the different data entity areas, customer being one of them. The others, as you mentioned, would be product or employee information or financial information, some of the kind of foundational data in Sun. You know, we would have a consistent set of data entity governance, you know, models within that overall framework. So that's really, you know, trying to make this an enterprise-wide model through a repeated data entity-focused enablement of governance.
And Gary, I know RL Polk deals with tons of data, for lack of a more technical term for it. How is data governance handled at Polk?
Similar to Sun, data governance at RL Polk is led by a team dedicated to monitoring data assets. Our data management team chairs a committee of key business stakeholders who meet periodically to review and set business rules for all types of data handling, with the main focus being on our single source of truth. So it really is a team that's focused on data that brings together all those key business stakeholders.
And just a question I'm going to throw out to the group, how long has it taken for you to sort of get to these solid data governance structures?
This is Mark with Sun. We've probably been in the planning and implementation stage of our data area, governance area, for the past 9 to 12 months. I think the biggest challenge is really getting the business involved in kind of the cultural and ecosystem aspect of governance. Traditionally, data management and aspects of quality and governance have been an IT competency. Getting more of the business involved in governing this, going from concept to actual practice, requires additional investment and focus, and getting a lot of the kind of measurement models and metrics down so, we can use that as drivers to maintain a baseline, understand, where quality needs to be. So, it's a lot of investment beyond just the concept. Kind of getting into the mechanics of this takes quite a while.
Anyone else have any input as to how long it's taken you to establish your data governance structures?
Hi, this is Gary Roster with RL Polk, and actually, we've been working at this for about a year and a half now, and when the data management team was first formed, there was a lot of energy around it, a lot of push, and a lot of people came to the table very quickly. But it is a long journey. It's a lot of work to keep people engaged in this process, so I'd agree with Mark that it requires additional time, energy, and money to keep people driving towards this goal of data governance outside of just the one team that is their day in, day out job.
This is Patrick from DTE, and we've been working on this probably for about 2.5 to 3 years, and we've had really, good success in the customer service area, and our CPG group, our common process governance group, moving into some of our distribution and power plant side has been more of a difficult situation. But we are trying to make headway, and with our business management team, we're starting to gain some ground in those areas.
Thank you, everyone. I know there's a lot of work involved to coordinate the many business rules and procedures involved with collecting data from so many different sources. I'm going to start with Mark from Sun Microsystems. How did you go about establishing your enterprise data management procedures? Was it a challenging process, and who ultimately managed it?
Yeah, I mean, in sort of addition to what I mentioned about our enterprise data management kind of framework, when it got down to the kind of the actual day-to-day focus on this, as we are phasing in these large amounts of data, really to work with the different legacy business function teams to understand how they've interpreted and defined and used their data, get them exposed to what the new data model would be that this is going into, and then in that process, a lot of agreement. Where there has been conflict of definition or conflict in terms, to come to one, set of rules and definition. So, a lot of time was spent probably in the first 6 months just getting people to agree on standards and definition, and then being able to see how that maps into the new model. Once they were able to do that, the good news is suddenly you've built up a fairly large amount of common business rules and common definition. And now kind of the challenge we're facing is, taking those validation rules and putting them into a measurement model and being able to set the guidelines and set the thresholds that we want to set to monitor this and make sure we stay within a certain quality level. So it's been a really good process to get people to, a level of commonness, but now being able to measure it and get into the practice of the metrics of it is taking its own time as well.
And Gary from Polk, I know that business rules were a big deal for the project there. Did you have a set of standard business rules to work off of when you started the project, or did you need to do some work sort of collecting and correlating rules? How did that process work?
Correct. Actually, no, we did not have a sound set of recorded business rules prior to the kickoff of this project. A big part of the project was having a team of business analysts assemble a current state assessment during which key business rules were documented during interviews with subject matter experts.
And Patrick, did you have to coordinate business rules development for your project at DTE?
Yes, that part of the project actually moved pretty slowly. It was tough to get traction with that, but one area of success that I think will help us move forward in other areas is we had done a migration for our credit and collections application and our application and information, and with applying certain business rules with about 4 or 5 data elements, we were able to correct around 35% of some customer status problems. So that was a good success for us. The only problem right now with that is we run some of these engines after the fact, and so it's more of a data cleanse, and that's part of still the struggle of working with the businesses. Working with efficient operation of the business and versus information quality requirements. So we're still struggling a little bit with that, but seemed to work out okay.
And now moving on to another issue. In my experience, organizations usually need a fair amount of justification to provide the funding, the sort of all this time you're talking about, the resources, your time, employees' time, to purchase the data quality tools, establish these programs, just all the planning involved. I'm going to stick with you, Patrick. Patrick, how did you build a business case for data governance and quality at DTE Energy? Did you have an executive sponsor? Were there any sort of metrics or ROI calculations or other points in your business case that you used to say that these investments would be worth it for the organization?
Yes, we actually used a return on investment, and we used a 5-year return on investment. And basically, we broke it down into three different versions. And basically, we said, here's the expense or the cost of ownership for the defective process. And just for instance, poor Social Security numbers of our customers. And then we said, here is the cost of ownership if you just do a data cleanse on that data element. And then here is the cost of if you do a process improvement. And that seems to work very well with upper management when they take a look at the first year may not look so fantastic, but when they look at it over time, it looks very appealing to them. It really helped us get going 2.5 years ago with some these short-term wins, and it really helped propel the data governance program.
Now, Mark from Sun, how about you? How did the organization build a business case for this major investment?
Well, it really goes back to the kind of dot-com burst, days, early 2000s, as Sun, in the technology sector, as many of the companies needed to do at that time. We needed to refocus on our business model, the cost of doing business, and, focus on new growth strategies. So that's really been our driver over the last few years. And, analysis of that, came to the conclusion that we needed to move to more integrated systems infrastructure and put more emphasis on data integration and business intelligence. So all of those things kind of were part of a pretty large ROI in the company and, moving to this Oracle 11i platform. And then, needing to put kind of the governance wrapper around that was the forcing function. We're trying to do data governance in the past. We understood the benefits of it, but didn't really have the ability to force that across the enterprise until now. So it's really the ROI has been there and then, been driving the ability now to put governance and an integrated systems model into place.
And Gary, I know that data is at the heart of Polk's business, but I'm guessing you must have had to make a case for why this was the right time and the right way to upgrade your infrastructure. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Our CIO actually is a very good visionary, and he was able to convince other senior executives and the board of directors that now was the right time to make this investment in technology and data quality. He, along with other key information system leaders, assembled a clear project outline and a set of guiding principles that were actually very well received by senior management. So it was through a vision, through a clear plan, and articulating it to the board of directors that was able to get this project kicked off.
Now, moving on to another issue, it sounds like all of your projects have been successful, but I'm sure it wasn't always a cakewalk. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about sort of the biggest challenges you encountered, either organizationally, culturally, technically, just sort of any of those challenges that sort of come to mind when you think about these projects. Gary, I understand that Polk has created a real-time processing architecture using SOA to expose business rules for data quality. Interesting stuff. Was that difficult to design and implement?
Actually, yes, this was very difficult to design and implement because this is really more of a journey than a project. It's taken us over 2 years to get to this point right now. And some of the largest challenges we faced actually were capturing and validating business rules, along with gathering complete definitions for all of our data elements, having a sound understanding of our data and putting data quality controls in place were some of the keys to get to where we were. But that process of gathering that and documenting it and conveying it and really just the validation has taken us quite a bit of time. So it has been quite a journey.
And has it been worth it, and why?
It's definitely been worth it because we see the paybacks as far as our ability to measure the quality of the data, the flexibility as we get in customer requests. We're able to act much more quickly, and we know that this foundation allows us to adapt our model very quickly, having that SOA architecture in place.
And now, Mark, what kind of challenges have you and the team at Sun encountered during your project?
I think all the same that Gary mentioned, you know, a lot of the gathering and the just normalization of things takes a lot of time, the people in the process, and kind of the culture around that, as I mentioned. So that part definitely, you know, has taken time and has been a challenge. But I think also, too, it's just trying to put the recipe and kind of the infrastructure around data quality management together and making it kind of a repeatable process and set of tools. Working with our enterprise data management PMO team, working with our vendors such as Dataflex, D&B, Oracle, you know, trying to weave together that repeatable infrastructure for measuring and for, you know, doing cleansing and for doing data enrichment and all those things that you really have to do as part of the maintenance aspect of governance. That has been, you know, a large challenge that I think we're working through. We're getting a sense of how to make that repeatable and can be leveraged in these other aspects of governance in the company, but that really does put a lot of, kind of data quality design, you know, in itself creates a lot of time and thought as well.
And now, Patrick, with DTE Energy, what kinds of challenges did you encounter? I remember reading your background, you had to deal with a lot of mergers and acquisitions, which probably means a lot of disparate systems and design philosophies. Was that the hardest part to work through, or was it something else?
That was definitely one of the hardest challenges, it was finding persons, you know, who knew the data. You know, we lost a lot of knowledge of doing the mergers and acquisitions, and then the documentation was very poor. So we had to go back and do a discovery or try to find the documentation that may have told us about a data definition or a business rule, and that was very difficult. And IT, they just become, less effective when the task or the information chain is poorly defined.
Moving on, not everyone is as far along as your companies. I'd like to hear some advice that you would give to other people who are trying to start or expand data governance and quality programs at their organizations. Gary from Polk, let's start with you. What advice or best practices would you offer to other companies that want to build a major enterprise information factory or take on a major data management project like yours?
Yeah, for a large project like this, that's, you know, the foundation is the data. My recommendation to anyone would be, of course, starting with a complete understanding of your core business rules. Make sure that they're captured and that people can validate those. And on top of that is mapping out a complete data strategy. One thing is to understand and describe all of your data, but also know where you're going with it. If you can lay that proper foundation, then everything becomes easy, because where we see delays in projects typically is because, in fact, you're trying to alter your data model. If you understand the data and get the data model foundation set proper, then the projects usually are more successful.
That makes sense. Patrick from DTE, what are your top best practices or advice that you'd offer to others?
Just getting started, we were able to start getting upper management levels' attention by some short-term wins, like I talked about earlier. Another concept that we use may seem real simple is we get some of the information producers and then the knowledge workers, the people who use the data, in the same room, and you find a lot of interesting things out, even though they only might be a couple floors away from each other, that they might think, the information producers might think they're creating it just fine, and yet the knowledge workers don't have the data that they need or in the format that they need. We also provide mechanisms for feedback around processes and data. Sometimes if you don't have that mechanism there, people just don't speak up. And, don't let the term, quality scare people. A lot of times with quality, individuals think that a job is going to become more difficult. And so we try to put perception around that.
And now, Mark from Sun Microsystems, what is your top advice to others starting or expanding a data governance program?
Well, I definitely agree with Gary and Patrick, in terms of getting the foundation started early and done well and getting, understanding of the quality and the communication that needs to occur around that. I think the only thing I would add would be making sure that there's a good maintenance strategy. It's easy to map everything in and get everything normalized, but if you can't maintain it and, keep it fresh and of a certain value, it's going to go stale and you're going to lose the ROI on that. So maintenance is important. And then the other, I think, in terms of communication is really, talk to other people that are doing this. It's been invaluable being able to talk to Gary or Patrick or others in the Dataflux users forum or in other vendor forums, because there's so many different angles to this. It's really important to kind of see what works and get information what's not working.
Good advice, all. And finally, I'm guessing I can sort of guess the one word answer to this since you're all talking to me, but more detail. I'm wondering, has this been worth it for everyone, and how do you know? So starting with you, Patrick, how have you measured success at DTE, either with hard metrics or anecdotally?
So first, from a hard metric perspective, we definitely measure it with whatever our projections were through either increased cash flow or reduction in information scrap and rework from certain groups that we have out there. And we use the framework, our black belt framework around that. So we have a hard metric. And then just some of the soft metrics, just that the number of times in the past year or so that people have called or just have stopped over at my office and said, hey, I think we have a problem, or, there's, something's wrong with this data. So they know where to go, and they're willing to come out and communicate that the program that they're aware of, what, information quality and the governance is all about.
And now, Mark from Sun, how about you? How do you know that your company's data governance efforts are paying off?
Well, some of it's subtle. When you start seeing people that are, have been very interested in the area of quality and governance historically, but haven't had the ability to kind of come together and drive it. Seeing that, seeing the output of that, where suddenly you do have documented rules and work instructions and policies that you've not been able to get your fingers on in the past, that's all, all goodness. And then, getting people to agree on the measurement and the maintenance of this, so as you put your metrics in place, and then, you can use that to drive focus, whether it's in pockets or geographies or whole functions, to stay on top of their data quality. You've got that really tangible process in place to manage quality. And, so you're moving from a lot of appreciation of quality to real tangible, implementable processes for quality. That's been really good.
Good. And finally, Gary, we touched on this at the beginning, I know, but why do you think that this project has been so successful for Polk? Do you have any other metrics or stories to share about that?
Sure. And this might be slightly restated, but it really is based on our ability to be more timely with our reaction to customer requests. We're more flexible, adaptable, the foundation that's been laid, so we know that it's been successful. But also, we didn't have the metrics in place previously. By us taking the time to document our data definitions and understand our data, we now have laid the foundation for us to build the metrics to actually measure quality. items in the past, when we thought we had a problem, we'd spend hours, days researching problems, but we didn't have a good foundation to base our decisions off of, whereas now we quickly, through metrics, can assess the impacts of change, and it allows us to focus our efforts right now. So we've felt like I can't give you hard metrics, but we know that what we've done is created a foundation that we have the metrics in place to actually drive the business.
Thank you again to all of the panelists in today's SearchDataManagement.com roundtable discussion about data governance. Our panelists included Mark Allen, Senior Program Manager with Sun, Patrick Pelly, Principal Analyst for Information Quality with DTE Energy, and Gary Rostek, Manager of Data Quality with RL Polk. And I'm Hannah Smaltry, editor of SearchDataManagement.com, where you can find more news articles, resources, and podcasts about data governance, data quality, business intelligence, data warehousing, and a host of other data management topics. Subscribing to our RSS feeds is a great way to stay up to date on the market and trends, and we invite you to email us anytime with your article suggestions and comments about how we can make SearchDataManagement.com an even better resource for you. Thank you again for listening to this exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. Have a great day.